So let's hear God's word. We're in a new series in Proverbs chapter 3, if you would like to follow that with me. Can I just say, actually, one of the things that we miss in this season, in fact, have missed over the past years, that we've had to take all the Bibles out. So if you're going, if this is your first time back and you're going looking for a Bible, I'm afraid with COVID restrictions, we haven't got that. So can I encourage you either to bring a Bible with you, to get into that habit or that discipline, or I know quite a number of us have our Bibles on our smartphones to look that up as well. So can I encourage you to do that? Lockdown has had some good things, but it has also created some lazy habits. And my fear is that one of the ones is Bible reading. So can I encourage you, when you're next here, either bring your smartphone, bring your Bible, I'll be looking. And it's great to hear those pages being turned and people looking up. It helps us to be more engaged, okay, and again when the sermon comes, to turn back to the passage. So Proverbs chapter 3 and reading from verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being snared. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word. If you want to turn again, actually, to Proverbs, we're mainly focusing on Proverbs 3, but I want to read a few verses from the end of Proverbs chapter 4 that reiterate the message of chapter 3. So Proverbs 4 and from verse 20 to 27. My son, pay attention to what I say and listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left, keep your foot from evil. And may God again bless his word to us today. There's a very old story which I'm sure you've heard, but it's always worth retelling, one of my favorite illustrations, actually, of a steamship owner, going back in time, a steamship owner, and the engine, the boiler in his ship was misfiring. It just wasn't working well at all. So they called in the engineer, and the engineer came and looked around it, felt the pipes humming to himself. And after about 10 minutes, he found the problem. He took a little hammer out of his pocket and tapped a red valve. And the whole thing really started to function a lot better after that. And he sent his bill to the owner of the ship, and it was for $1,000. This is going back in time, by the way, $1,000. And the owner of the ship thought, you know, this is exorbitant, because he was only there 10 minutes. Can you itemize the bill? So he itemized the bill, sent it back to the owner, and it said, for tapping on the valve, $1. For knowing where to tap, $999. And I love that story because, in a sense, what we are doing in looking at wisdom is knowing where to tap. The experience, the knowledge, the training that went into that one little action of tapping is, in a sense, what is good for us to know and to learn as we go through life. Each culture, each society, each philosophy has its own wisdom. But above and beyond mere human wisdom, there is true divine wisdom, godly wisdom. And the Bible presents this bigger picture to us of what it is not just to be wise in the world's eyes, but to be wise in God's eyes, which sometimes is a different thing. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is a different thing. And if we are to be truly wise, as Keith reminded us last week, we begin, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the passage we read earlier in Proverbs 3 and verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So there is a divine side, there's a transcendent side to wisdom, which is above mere worldly wisdom, because worldly wisdom takes us so far. A couple of times later on in Proverbs, and we may come to it, it says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but the way in the end leads to death. Because there's a lot of wisdom around at the minute in our modern culture, but actually it's foolishness. In the song we sang earlier, I actually wrote it down, and I only got half the lyric down. It's never good trying to sing a song and write at the same time. But there was a line, Jack, where's Jack gone? It said, I won't be formed by feelings. And what does the next bit say? Something about being true. Yeah. And that really struck me. They're all looking up to see what it was. I won't be formed by feelings, and we'll get the second half of the verse in a minute. But our world at the minute is formed by feelings. Have you noticed that? Our world at the minute is reactive, and it's how you feel in the moment. And that is no way to form wisdom or to form a good response. And yet our world is completely encapsulated by feelings at the minute. And people, as I said before, like Oprah Winfrey talking about my truth and what's your truth, which is complete nonsense. You have an opinion, but there is the truth. So we are living in a culture which is lacking the wisdom of God. It's lacking wisdom outside of itself that is transcendent, that is divine. Because we think we know it all. Have we got the second line yet?
And hold fast to what is true.
I'll hold fast to what is true. So I won't be formed by feelings. I will hold fast, thank you, Stephen, to what is true. And that is what we are doing here in this series. We're looking at godly wisdom and where true wellness and true well-being lies. And the world will often say, well, don't like that. But actually, it's God's wisdom, which sometimes is foolishness in the eyes of the world. and especially in the culture in which we live at the moment. So we're going to look at the benefits of wisdom. We're going to look, last week Keith started us very well. We're going to look today again in a general sense. And then from next week on, we'll look at more specific things, more specific issues. Proverbs deals with the whole person, but supremely it deals with the soul, or it deals with the heart of the person. Above all else, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. But when it's talking about the heart, it means the soul, it means the whole center of the person. And that is the Bible and indeed Proverbs' concern. It's that our soul will be right and then things will flow from that that will be good. Everything flows from the heart. Everything flows from the soul. Is it well with your soul? So the Bible, God's wisdom book, is our manual for living. And yet again, sadly, our culture, a culture which was founded on Christian principles and founded on the Word of God, now by and large ignores the Bible. By and large ignores the Bible. Or it is positively despised as being foolishness. I have sought for the past 40 years, ever since I became a Christian, to base my learning, my values, upon this book, upon the Bible. There are many resources and tools which I use to try and be wise. Sometimes I'm not wise. What I try and do is to base it first and foremost on the Word of God and to see is everything consistent with the Word of God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. John Calvin begins his magisterial Institutes of the Christian Religion in this way. Nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts: the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. Again, it is certain, he says, that a man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself unless he has first looked upon God's face. When we look upon God's face, and we look upon God's face primarily through the Scriptures, it is his special revelation. It is the way he reveals himself to us. There's general revelation, which is the creation, and we can discover something about God through the general creation, through the general revelation of creation, but we need God's special revelation, his wisdom, through his Word. And so we make no excuse for dealing in this Word and seeing the benefits of it. Koptak, in his commentary on Proverbs, sums up chapter 3 well. He puts it into three sections. In chapter 3, 1 to 10, we are told, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, so you fail to trust that God's ways are best." In verse 11 to 20, "Do not reject the Lord's teaching so that you miss the life-giving riches of wisdom." And thirdly, "Do not lose your sense of judgment and discernment so that you take what belongs to your neighbors." And we're going to unpack those three in a slightly different way in this message today. Again, can I repeat what Keith said last week? That Proverbs, in general, gives us truth to live by. There are always exceptions. Proverbs, in general, gives us good instructions. There are always exceptions in life. People die of cancer. People will not live a flourishing and long life. People will die in accidents, and they may be believers or Christians. But so far as we ourselves can do it, as we follow the teaching here, it does lead to a flourishing life in general. I've done enough funerals and buried enough people who are younger to know that there are exceptions to this. But in general, there is wisdom here, which leads us to the way of shalom, to the way of peace. That Hebrew word shalom, a wholeness, a wellness, a peace. The statistics, time after time, and sometimes we read them in newspapers and so on, which say that Christian believers, and especially prayerful ones, are less anxious. They tend to live longer. They recover from hospital operations quicker and generally get themselves into less bother. I find Paul's advice in 1 Thessalonians 4 interesting. He says, "We have instructed you how to live in order to please God. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. If we follow the wisdom of Proverbs, we will live a God-pleasing, holy, quiet life, not one that is frenetic and disjointed and distracted and anxious, which we're seeing more and more in our society. So let's look today at three major benefits, according to chapter 3, three major benefits of biblical wisdom, of divine wisdom. The first benefit is in verses 1 to 10, where the writer says that it will enable us to trust God more. We trust God more. The more wisdom we have, the more we read God's word, the more we will trust him. Verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." So the truly wise person in God's eyes will find that they walk a straighter path, and they will trust God and fear God more. Verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil." The person who is wise in their own eyes has nothing to learn. They're not teachable. They're not discerning. And they do not fear and respect the Lord. But the writer says that if you fear and respect and honor God, it will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In other words, it will bring wellness. Here is the foundation of true wellness and well-being. So often modern medicine can ignore the very real benefits of our spiritual nature. The pandemic has highlighted the various parts of us that need to be cared for. Yes, the physical side, but there's also the emotional side and the mental well-being of people. And there's also the sociological side. You know, we find as people have not been able to meet with each other and so on, they've really struggled from loneliness. They reckon many people will actually die of loneliness after this pandemic. And then, of course, there's the spiritual side. And again, governments have been slow to recognize spiritual well-being. I'll say this now because it's not being recorded, hopefully not online. I think the fact that down south they have not allowed churches to open at all for the past year is a real tragedy. It's awful. And I think it has been a failure of the government down south to recognize the importance of spiritual well-being and the importance of people meeting for prayer. Now, of course, you can meet in your own house for prayer, etc., etc. But I just think it has been awful. Possibly the only country in Europe that has not allowed churches to open at all. And I think that is a failure to recognize the importance of the spiritual side. And there's probably many reasons for that, but I just think it has been a tragedy. My colleagues, ministerial colleagues, are really struggling because they have not been able to meet in their own churches for over a year. And it's been awful. So there are different sides to well-being, and this pandemic has shown and highlighted the different parts of us that go into making up a truly well person. Proverbs 4 and 25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Do not swerve to the right or to the left." When we trust God, there is a straighter path. We get into less trouble. We get into less terrible tangles because we can get distracted and our eyes can lead us off into all kinds of directions and trouble. As you know, I play golf, or a form of golf. And for those of you who don't play golf, just very, very simple rules. You've got the tee box where you tee off the ball. You're aiming for the putting green, and you're trying to get the ball in the hole within the fewest possible strokes. And the bit that is in the middle that is mown shorter is called the fairway. And that's a very good description of it, because it's the fairest way, it's the best way, it's the straightest way to get to the hole. But if you're like me, quite often you find yourself in the rough. The rough is either to the right or the left of the fairway, and often the rough has trees. And last week I was in the rough, as usual. My partner, boringly enough, was up middle. I was in the rough. I had a tree in front of me, and I thought I could see a gap, and I hit the ball to try and miss the tree. And of course, it hit the tree and actually went further back than where I'd been in the first place. So then what you do is you try to overcompensate, and so you head out and you try to hit the fairway, but you overcompensate and you end up hitting it too far and it goes into the rough on the other side. And it's exhausting. It's just exhausting. And the best thing to do is to hit the ball straight down the middle. That is the quickest way. It is the best way to play golf. Unfortunately, many people live their lives like the way I play golf. And they end up in the rough. And they go from one rough to the bunker to the other rough because they are not following the wisdom of God. They're following the wisdom of their own eyes and they think they know better. But actually, it's exhausting. And they lurch from one crisis to another because they lack the wisdom of God. We can show where our priorities lie by our actions. Attitudes play out in actions. And here the writer says in verse 9, honor the Lord. You honor the Lord, you trust in the Lord, you show trust in the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Whatever we earn each week or each month, the first slice, the first portion goes to the Lord. And in doing that, what we're saying is, Lord, you matter to me. Lord, you are a priority to me. In fact, I'm trusting you. I can't see you, Lord, but I'm giving you a slice of my money, first and foremost, because you matter to me, and it shows that I trust you. It is a mark of our trust. Our wallets and our bank accounts show us where our priorities lie. What gets the first cut? Where is the Lord in our giving? Because as a general principle, he says, if you honor me, I will honor you. Don't be stingy towards me. It won't actually benefit you in the long term. So here's the first benefit of biblical wisdom. It enables us to trust the Lord more and more and to invite more of the Lord into our lives and to go straight on the fairway. The second, in verses 11 to 20, the second benefit is that we receive life-giving riches. We receive life-giving riches. Sometimes today, people see health and wealth as ends in themselves. There's any amount of magazines or newspaper supplements or internet influencers, and all they're concerned about is having a healthy body and a healthy, rich lifestyle, and they see that as an end in itself. Now, it's good to have a healthy body, good to have a good lifestyle, but as the book of Ecclesiastes says, if that is your primary focus, then all the benefits you have, all the possessions you have, you may have the healthiest body under the sun. But if you live under the sun without any transcendent view of what is above the sun, well, then you will miss what actually true wisdom is. You will still end up dissatisfied. I mean, have you ever wondered why some of the richest people in the world seem so miserable, go through so many divorces, and sadly and tragically and ultimately sometimes commit suicide? It's because they are living under the sun and they're going for the things under the sun without getting godly wisdom. Verses 14 to 18 says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. When we hear that word blessed, we are reminded of the blessings of Jesus, the Beatitudes. And in one of those Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness really means you're in a right relationship with God. Jesus says, you're blessed. You have well-being and wellness in your heart when you're right with God. Elsewhere, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear the Lord, for it is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is to be sought. It's more precious than gold or silver. And it gives us eternal life. In verse 18, the writer says this, "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." She is a tree of life. The tree of life features a few times in Scripture. It features in Genesis, it features in Revelation, and I think it features a wee bit in Ezekiel. But what is the tree of life? The tree of life is the symbol of eternal life, of full quality life. And the way to eat of the tree of life, because we've been banished from it since Eve and Adam disobeyed, they've been banished from the Garden of Eden, but now we can eat from the tree of life through the cross. The cross is the tree of life. And as we eat of that tree, we shall live even though we die. And so we need to guard our hearts, trust in the cross, and know the life-giving riches of wisdom. Tim Keller says, as he comments in the verse about guarding our hearts, he says, "Though ultimately the heart is the central control, our words, our eyes, and our feet can influence the heart. If we gaze longingly enough at an object, it may capture our heart through our imagination. The best way to guard your heart for wisdom is worship, in which the mouth, the mind, and the imagination, and even the body are all oriented towards God. Church is an important way of directing our gaze towards God as we praise Him, as we pray, as we hear His word, as we celebrate the sacraments. These are all ways in which we gaze upon the Lord. And if we are to live wisely and well, we need to gaze on the Lord as much as possible. The ordinances, the rules, the commands, the revelation of God's character, the stories, the pithy sayings, even the flawed lives we read about in God's word. We read also about the unique story of Jesus. It helps us to live wisely and well. So wisdom helps us to lean, to trust in God more. It helps us to know the real riches of wisdom and of true life, of long life. And thirdly, and just very briefly, finally, in verses 21 to 35, we bless society. The wise person isn't just consumed with their own life or their own family, but they bless society, they bless the community. It says here that in verse 27, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow,' when you now have it with you." It is good to bless the community. We have blessed the community so much through Bob's store. It's been one of the best things through this past year. It has made so much difference to people. So thank you, those who every Saturday morning come and you give goods and provisions and money. Thank you. It's making a difference. It is blessing the community. It's an act of wisdom. Didn't Jesus sum up the Old Testament in these words, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself"? This is true wisdom, to bless our society. If we have the good to do it, then do it today, not tomorrow. Don't put it off. So as we conclude, wisdom enables us to trust God more. It enables us to receive the true riches, gold and silver and long life. And it enables us to bless society, the community in which we live, to bless our neighbors. These are truly wise acts. Is it well with your soul? Some people read a chapter of Proverbs a day. I know one or two people in the congregation do this. They read a chapter of Proverbs every day alongside their other reading because they know the benefits of it, that it helps us to grow in wisdom. It helps us to know where to tap. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. Forgive us when we think we know better. Help us to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and for you to train us in the way of righteousness, and to fix our eyes straight ahead, and to follow you. For your glory and for our good, we pray. Amen.